This is your Guardian host, Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 15th of May, 2023, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. And if it's a Monday, that must mean it's a Why We Always Watching the Wrong Thing Monday. I've got lots to talk about today. I want to talk about an article I found in last week's paper, entitled, IRCA Makes Recommendation on Third Mobile Operator and Concludes 5G Study. IRCA makes recommendation on third operator and concludes 5G study. But before we get there, why are we always watching the wrong thing? This morning on my way to work, I was profiled by two young, eager police officers. Like, I don't think they did anything wrong. They were very professional. They looked smart and neat in their uniforms. They were alert and obviously on duty. But I wanted to ask them, why y'all always watching the wrong thing? I tell you what, anytime I decide to grow my locks, I get stopped and profiled by the police. And why I find this bothersome is, because right near where they flagged me down, they were doing, I think, I don't want to call it a roadblock because the law says that you need a reason for a roadblock and you need to be prepared to tell drivers why it is you're conducting a roadblock and why it is you're stopping them. Like, you have to do those things when you have a roadblock. I don't think anybody was instructed or directed to do those things. So it couldn't have been a roadblock, but they was blocking the road. And right near where they were blocking the road, near there, like slightly out of their view, I'll give them that, is a zone that has a high incidence of traffic infractions. A high incidence of traffic infractions. So I wondered, what were those officers sent there to watch? Because they was watching the wrong thing. Now, this little dialogue has inspired my drive, not just my drive into work this morning, but my experiences on the road over the last 2 weeks since I have been driving again. And I just want to say that there's something wrong with y'all. That sounds harsh, doesn't it? It sounds extremely harsh. Some people may even say, man, Erin, she just rude sometimes. But let me tell you what is rudeness. Rudeness is barging your way into an intersection by turning right on red, even though there are cars obviously in the intersection. I witnessed another accident at that intersection, Mackey and Shirley Street, last week. The lights were flashing yellow. Nobody cared. You see how dangerous it is to not ensure clarity in the traffic controls? It's extremely dangerous, right? And I need us to understand that I'm not going to allow us to desensitize ourselves to this crisis. Last week, we had an awful traffic fatality where a vehicle drove into the back of a truck on Milo Butler Highway. And I want to suggest to us that this is a crisis. We are totally out of control on the roadways. When commercial vehicles that can be easily identified are turning right on red on Mackey and Shirley Street, we have a massive crisis. See, we don't care about Bahamians. This is obvious. by the way that we drive, our lack of regard for the traffic controls, for pedestrians, for the disabled. We don't care about other Bahamians, but do we care about tourists? Do we really care about them? Do we care about our tourism industry? And why would we allow this situation to devolve in a major thoroughfare for tourist traffic? We have pedestrian traffic. We have ATV traffic, and we're still trying to determine the roadworthiness of ATV vehicles. We have tourists moving in Jeeps. We have them in taxis, we have them in tour buses, and we have them in rental cars moving through that intersection constantly. Now, you see, I think a lot of us are thinking that I'm about to say, and killing a tourist in a traffic accident is the most detrimental thing you could do. No, that's not what it is. What it is Bahamians watching tourists get a slap on the wrist for activities that would ruin a Bahamian's life. That's what's detrimental, because that is a plantation. Anyway, I'm going to get going quickly. Back to traffic and roadworthiness. Last week, the Minister for Housing and Transport made a statement indicating they are preparing to introduce roadworthiness inspectors. I celebrated, because I, for one, have been calling for months for somebody to inspect the road for its worthiness. Like many of us Christians, we cry out to Jesus to prove our worthiness. The roads are not worthy. They're not worthy of tax collection. They're not worthy of our cars. They're not worthy of our feet. The roads are horrible. I would direct you to inspect the most recent patch jobs in the Eastern District of New Providence. Months ago, I told you, I know they're going to break up very quickly because I witnessed the patches being put down. And alas, they're already crumbling, potholes returning to their former glory. Dear Minister and Cabinet, there are some very audacious things that you all have decided you all could say to us. But imagine, when you say you're going to get roadworthiness inspectors, it's not to determine the worthiness of the road and the quality of the road and our ability to drive on it. And it's not to determine the worthiness of the drivers and whether they are worthy, whether they should have the privilege of operating a motor vehicle on the public roads. It seems y'all just watching the wrong thing all the time. It's tax, 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 and then throw in a police the Negroes, tax, police the Negroes, tax. If you focus on the worthiness of the road and the drivers, you will find that you come to a solution quicker than just watching taxes. You're just in the habit of watching the wrong thing. Text there, good morning, Aaron. Please tell the commissioner that we do welcome more police being seen, more visibility. Yes, I agree with you, because they don't have, see, mere visibility causes people to moderate their behavior. And if you remind those police officers that their role is to be visible, their presence should be a deterrent, and they're not there to police the Negroes and keep them in line, we would be all right. I say, I got a phone and call. Let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Universe Lord, you are in.
Good morning, Brayman. How you doing?
I'm right here holding. I'm in the struggle. We need justice, law, and order in the Bahamas here.
Yes.
But as you speak of recent road repairs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mason's Edition, they just was repairing Mason's Edition several months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Not even, I don't think it's 6 months completely yet. And you falling in hole, walking, you could break your ankle.
Yeah.
It seems as if as though they put sand in those holes which are on Mason's edition, especially the area about roughly about 15 feet off from East Eden to Mason's edition.
Okay.
And I mean, it's just terrible.
Thank you.
So they need to really, you know, come back and do the work
again
in a proper manner.
Thank you, Brayman.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. See, why is it important? Because we have people whose mobility is limited by factors like maybe a physical disability or loss of sight, who still not just want to, but have to navigate their community to take care of their own needs. And it becomes even more treacherous for them because, no, some of them can't avoid the hole because they can't see it. Thank you much. Another text. Great show as usual, Miss Green. We get Talk Sports on Friday. Thank you very much, text. He's agreeing. Sometimes we watch the wrong things. I agree, Aaron. Something is wrong with us. The amount of risk people take just to jump two or three cars is bananas. Let me tell you what's really bananas. How do you do that in a place where your primary access to healthcare is a clinic and your secondary access is a general hospital that sometimes doesn't have toilet paper in its bathrooms? People have to flush the toilet with their foot. How do you take risks with other people's lives and call yourself a Christian nation? I see I got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller.
A pleasant. Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay, ma'am. Sparky,
good.
Yeah.
Good,
you
sir.
Know, I just pray and hope that all the mothers of the country and our friends, our visitors, had a beautiful Mother's Day yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and everything went safe.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they enjoyed their dinners and their massages and hairdos and all the church services and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would like to make a comment this morning that I think it's fitting over many years of listening to talk show. I would like to thank people like Pauper, Brayman, JT, and Ponkinita, who isn't visually impaired is blind.
Mm-hmm.
And who isn't blind is a paraplegic in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And their observations around this town, especially people like Brayman and JT and Pauper, them who are blind, they seem to be able to see more of what's going on wrong around this country than these big-grown, cancer, picky-eared, de-average people who could see. Brayman could see what going on with the roads 15 feet down the road on Mason's Edition, and he blind.
Mm-hmm.
And people riding around here with cars that we paid for, with chauffeur-driven cars, with bodyguards and guns and the leather jacket, and have to drive the same roads that we have to drive every day because the island is still only 21 by 7 less take away from the gated community that they built all around the seashores,
mm-hmm.
taking all the best properties from us and putting us in the middle in the crab basket. And they can't see the road like Mount Royal Avenue. They had an MP there for 40 years, and you can't drive from Wolfville to Hawkins Hill without going through all kind of craters and things.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have the headquarters right on the main road, and the potholes right in the front of the headquarters, and they don't see it. But they could fix all kind of roads up in the back behind the bush. They could fix the road on Bay Street going to Paradise Island. They could always fix the road around Cable Beach where all the elites and all the millionaires live. But they can't find time to fix the road over the hill where we got to transverse every day of our life.
Yes, sir.
When you come out your corner, or where you live up east off on Johnson Road or wherever it is, mm-hmm. so as you hit the main road on East Bay Street, you're on a nice, smooth road. When you turn south, you come down Bernard Road, any road south,
Marshall.
Or the ridge, you got the north side of the ridge and the south. Anything over the hill, you in potholes all day.
Sparky, that's a very keen observation.
It's but not only that.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe it's a conspiracy because when all our CV joints and everything keep getting damaged, we got to keep running to the same mechanics over and over to repair them. It's got to be a conspiracy to give people jobs to repair our cars.
Sparky, I would like to thank you for your contribution this morning. I right here. I hang up yet. I'm thanking you for your contribution. I have to go. I can tell you why. Because you're not wrong. And I got excited, and I got to calm down. I got another caller, and I ain't even touched what I want to talk about yet. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
I'd like to make two comments.
Yes, sir.
There was an accident with the police bus on Thursday or Wednesday, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't heard anything about that as yet. Them speeding up and down with these prisoners who don't have anywhere to go. Almost killed half of them, and I haven't heard anything about that.
Okay.
Next thing, to concur with Sparky, Cotto Avenue and Lincoln Boulevard, or Cotto Avenue, mm-hmm. when you turn off of Lincoln Boulevard onto Cotto Avenue, it's like the road is crumpled, like the tectonic plate moved and crumpled the road. And that's been like that for years. And they went and paved Mother Pratt Street, and nothing was wrong with that. Straight to Robinson Road.
Mm-hmm.
So, why? And they go on when you go on the road, it feels like your rear end or engine is going to drop out.
Yep.
And they can't get around to that. And these fellas who fix the roads drive on it every day. And not one of them will say, let's go fix that road.
Thank you very much, caller. Thank you very much.
Please see if you can help me with that road, because I have to transverse on that road every other day, ma'am.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And it's an important issue. It is an important issue because we're talking about...
Like Sparky say, roads that don't need...
They're getting it. Absolutely. See, this is a human rights issue as well, right? The movement of people, goods, and services drive your economy, your personal economy, and the national economy. If some people in some communities are hampered, they are unable to participate in commerce at the same rate as others because of the conditions of the infrastructure in their communities, they are being unfairly positioned, right? They're being disadvantaged in a space that they should have equal and equitable access to. These things are real things. Another thing, I annoy the life out of water and sewerage staff anytime I see them on the Eastern Foreshore, and I ask them this question. Have y'all considered the impact of seismic and increased seismic, or this earthquake activity in the region on the conditions of the roads and the infrastructure that houses your equipment? Is anybody doing it? Is anyone in government creating environmental impact assessments for the projects they're engaging in? Again, why are we always watching the wrong thing? It's not just the foreign projects that are supposed to have EIAs, the foreign direct investors. It's the local projects as well. And I tell you what, the reason why nobody gives two hoots about an EIA, whether it's somebody putting up a shack on their own property or a foreign direct investor, is because the government doesn't believe in the need and efficacy of EIAs. All right, I got another caller, then we're going to read these texts, and then I'm going to transition. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron Green.
Good morning. How you do?
Everything is well. I trust that you're doing well.
Yes, sir.
Also, two quick points here. In reference to the previous caller, you know, he is spot on with that question. We've been asking this for years now. With the proposal of the new construction at the prison site, is there any consideration for courts to be built onto that site so these prisoners could stop being transferred from Fox Hill all the way to Bank Lane and the rush hour traffic, 9 o'clock, forcing everybody on the side of the road for these vehicles to get through, and then at 5 o'clock, the reverse happens to shuttle them back? Is there any consideration for a complex that would represent a magistrate or a Supreme Court on that site, saying that there is a proposal for buildings to be constructed on that site? That's one question that requires a sensible answer.
Mm-hmm.
The second part that I would like to also respond to, talking about the roads and these potholes. You know, I lived in the, like Sparky, you know, I've grown up in the area of Bar 20 and the Pipham Road Edition, and had to traverse with my parents these streets back and forth between Shirley Street and Bar 20.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the bone of contention I have. There are certain corridors that are main thoroughfares in these areas that for years have been falling into disrepair, but yet no attention, no true attention has been given. I'll give you an example. Mackey Street, a major thoroughfare, has not been paid for decades to improve the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
You have a catastrophe, an accident waiting to happen. The narrowing of that corridor going up the hill from Rosetta Street, going mm-hmm. up the hill. That part between Rosetta Street and on top of the hill is a catastrophe, is a war zone.
Mm-hmm.
Potholes, road cracking, people ducking holes and cracks. I mean, it is totally ridiculous. And we talk about these things time and immemorial,
yep.
day by day, on this radio. And yet, we have to get a sensible report from the relevant agencies on what they intend to do with these roadways. Where's the report from these persons to say, here's the schedule that we have, or yes, we have considered, we have got complaints about these roads. Here's the list of the roadways that we intend to improve. Where are these people with our tax dollars? This is ridiculous. You may be paying all these taxes in the country and we cannot get sensible infrastructure put in place, but more so, more response from the relevant agencies to report to the Bahamian people what they are doing.
Absolutely.
This is crazy.
Absolutely.
That's the problem, Eric.
Thank you.
All I'm saying. Thanks for taking my call.
Come on. Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you very much. And I guarantee you that if we can master traffic management, if we can master traffic management and road management, if we can master managing and moderating our behavior in a public space that we all share equally and equitably, if we can do that, then we can begin to master the management of our communities, and we can begin to master the management of our homes. We can begin to do all of that. Well, listen, when we get back from the break, I told you all I want to talk about this IRCA article, but we also have to talk about what it means to be in service of mothers. You're on the clock. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody go on come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what are we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock on this Always Watching the Wrong Thing Monday. So I got a couple of things before we transition and these texts to our last caller. If you look at today's Tribune, top of the fold, article, Monroe says new prison contract is FNM holdover. If you remember, the Minister of National Security had been, I wouldn't want to call it lobbying, but talking about the need for a new prison, asking for $40 million, and then most recently the price tag increased to $90 million. And they said that the part of the reason why it increased was that they wanted to include a virtual court process in it, right? So I guess they want to establish a virtual court, which is a part of this thing, the need to move prisoners back and forth on a daily basis. But here's another thing to sort of bring some balance. I appreciate the need for speed, especially if you're coming up the Eastern Road. Let me tell you how easy it is to cause a roadblock and cause prisoners to escape and make their way quickly to the water's edge, where a boat is waiting for them. Right? I don't know if we've noticed how we drive. I know you don't want the buses to be speeding through, but I don't know if we remember what the law says in reference to emergency vehicles or what your responsibility as a driver is. You should always be prepared for, an instance where you will have to make way for an emergency vehicle. And I got to read this text again. Please tell the commissioner that we do welcome more police being seen. More visibility, yes. But could they get more traffic police, please? Sweat the small stuff, please. More traffic police, men visible, and ticketing lawbreakers who make driving. Remember, we don't have a properly functioning public transportation system, but we have increasing numbers of people who need public transportation, like children whose parents don't have vehicles of their own, and the elderly who should not be driving. Yeah? All right. I got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You are on the clock.
Aaron, good morning again.
Yes, sir.
Usually I don't call shows twice.
No problem.
Especially in the road, the same show. But I thank you for the information you provided just now, mm-hmm. based on the question with the prison. But here's another question that needs an answer.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to do virtual court, okay?
Yeah.
Who is going to be the magistrate or the judges on these cases assigned to this virtual court? Firstly, secondly, mm-hmm. if it's a case where it's a jury that's going to be a part of this process.
Yeah.
How is that part going to be set up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're building the infrastructure, but we'd like to know when the infrastructure is also built, how are we going to manage the infrastructure?
Mm-hmm.
How are these things going to come into play? Have they been thought about as the process building the infrastructure or putting the infrastructure in place? Have these thoughts been put in place where not when the structure is built, then we are thinking about these things, or are they being incorporated right at this particular moment? That as the process continues, we'll have this, depending upon the type of courts that's going to be at the prison, seeing that it's virtual. And secondly, how is the jury going to be assembled and how that is going to come about as we continue forward? These are the relevant questions we need to be asked while this process, one of many processes, are continuing in our country and towards future growth. Thanks for taking my call again, and I'll continue to listen.
Absolutely. And we shouldn't have to beg for this information, and we shouldn't have to be made to feel as if somehow we are frustrating the state by asking for this information. And certainly we should not be accused of being political opponents and prepared to destroy any good idea because we don't like the party in power. We need to stop that. We need to shift the way that we do governance. Okay. In service of mothers, I want to thank Sparky for calling in and giving a lovely Mother's Day greeting. We all celebrate Mother's Day in different ways. I think the best way to celebrate mothers is to continuously work to not only create, but also to create an environment where they can fulfill their dreams and desires for themselves, their children, and others. We create this environment with law and policy and community and culture, right? And so I appreciate, I don't ever want to put a damper on how people celebrate their lives and moments in their lives. That's not my job. But I want to suggest that we can also celebrate mothers by working on the issues that are important to mothers, which are eradicating violence in interpersonal, familial, community, and workplaces, safe and affordable housing, including temporary and emergency options, safe and affordable education, including care services for children, young people, and students, an accessible state civil society and community programming and benefits, right? And I think others across the Bahamas and across the globe are concerned about, even if only for themselves, even if in the most selfish way, these are issues that mothers think about and expect us to be working on. And so, producer, is anyone in the Zoom room? All right. I was hoping to have a guest pop in for a moment, but it's okay if they don't, because I can make this just a quick announcement. Two-Face, Gender Equality in the Bahamas, the documentary spotlighting the oftentimes taboo topic of gender inequality in the Bahamas, is produced by Erica Mariah James, PhD, Marion Bethel Sears, Patrice Thompson, Alicia Wallace, and Gina Rogers Seeley. So the documentary has 7 additional screenings. If you miss the sneak peek at the Island House Film Festival or you miss the premiere at Fusion Superplex, there are now 7 additional screenings. I'm going to share them with you quickly. At the Island House this upcoming weekend, you can watch the documentary on Saturday, that's the 20th of May at 6 p.m., or Sunday, the 21st of May at 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. If you're on the eastern end of the island, Four Walls Squash and Social Club are hosting and screening the film at 7 p.m. Sunday, the 21st at 2 p.m. and Wednesday, the 24th at 7 p.m. And the Regency Theater in Freeport, Grand Bahama, is hosting the Grand Bahama premiere on Saturday, the 20th of May at 7:30 p.m. The Regency Theater event in Grand Bahama will have a question and answer session at the end. Four Walls Squash and Social Club will feature happy hours on the, I think, on the Saturday and Wednesday. And the Island House Theater is also featuring other wonderful films that you may be able to take advantage of while you are at the theater. And maybe we get a little bit more time to talk about it. But I wanted to sort of place this discussion right after Mother's Day because eradicating violence in interpersonal relationships, familial relationships, community relationships, and in the workplace is of utmost importance to mothers and the people who love mothers, like fathers and cousins. Yeah, we are not separated in this matter. Also, Carla, I come in right now. When I see that Four Walls Squash and Social Club is hosting this documentary, I just want to say thank you to Noelle Nichols, feminist and women's rights advocate, but also daughter of Donna Nichols. And I know Donna would be thrilled that Noelle, you've made a space for this documentary, because it's all about the work that you do as well and the work that your mother dedicated her life to before her unfortunate passing. Let's go to this caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Erin Grant. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
I'm doing well. Happy post-Mother's Day.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Bucky, for the compliment he gave to me, Papa, and others who started this talk show venture. They call it the Chronicles.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I wrote to the telecommunication company. You didn't get to mention.
Okay, well, let me get into...
I'm eager and curious.
Let me get into that story right now then, Pumpkin Eater.
You want to... I might want to comment on it. Do you want me to give me a second to hold?
You could call back. You call back.
Okay, yeah, but okay, I'll call back. But,
Because IRCA did not reveal any of the recommendations, at least from the article, right? It says IRCA has made a recommendation to the government on the feasibility of a third mode. Revealed that recommendation in its...
Imagine, I know there's a satellite company called Satellite Company.
Man, let me tell the story.
Okay, tell it. I'm going to hang out with you.
Yeah, yes. Thank you.
Call back.
Absolutely. Thank you. At the request of Pumpkin Eater, let us get into the story. IRCA makes recommendation on third mobile operator, concludes 5G study. This article is in The Guardian. It is dated the 1st of May, 23. IRCA's made a recommendation to the government on the feasibility of a third mobile operator in the Bahamas, but did not reveal that recommendation in its just-released 2022 annual report and 2023 annual plan. IRCA also revealed that it completed its assessment on the uses for advanced connectivity, 5G, and intends to release the details of its survey of the electronic communication sector in the coming weeks. Quote, as set out in the electronic communication sector policy, the government of the Bahamas will consider whether further liberalization of the mobile telephone market should be undertaken in the form of a third mobile operator. The policy requires that IRCA provide advice and recommendations to the government on this matter, feasibility and market analysis to support any recommendations made. IRCA completed its assessment of the feasibility of a third mobile operator in 2022 and provided recommendations to the government of the Bahamas in the first semester of 2023. The regulator said, quote, in 2022, IRCA surveyed industry groupings and end users to assess use cases, demand for advanced connectivity, 5G services in the Bahamas. This survey is a crucial component for the development of the public consultation document on 5G services. IRCA surveyed its major licensees, industry groups, and end users. During this process, IRCA sought to determine the potential use cases of the advanced mobile services, inclusive of 5G for government, business, and end users. Y'all just stick a pin there. The geographical locations within the Bahamas where the advanced mobile services are needed. We're going to stick a pin there because the answer to that is, say it with me, everywhere. And the investment in infrastructure required to facilitate 5G document on 5G is expected to be issued during the first trimester of 2023. Arguing that market competition could not support a third mobile operator alive in 2021, suggested in its response to IRCA's annual plan that year that government would have to choose between a third mobile operator and 5G. The company noted at the time that, quote, in the Bahamas, a decision on a third operator will have a direct impact on investment decisions to be made by the existing two mobile operators. Stick a pin. The government may be faced with a decision on whether it wants a third network operator or investments in 5G networks. IRCA's review needs to include this dimension. So I got some quick questions we're going to run through in the next 6 minutes, then texts. One, does, quote, mobile telephone market include, quote, the internet on your phone? Good morning, BTC. What would you choose if you ever got to make a choice about how things run in your own country? What would you choose, third mobile operator or 5G? And then, of course, why do we have to choose? Now, Pumpkin Eater, your question. Is Starlink Bahamas the hypothetical third mobile operator? Remember, they're already licensed and operating in the Bahamas. Licensed in February 2023. Anecdotal stories, because I have not seen the documents to prove it myself, that they've been operating from 2019. But I still want to know, formally, officially, who are their customers, and what services are they providing. Let's take a quote from the article. During this process, IRCA sought to determine the geographical locations within the Bahamas where the advanced mobile services are needed, close quote. Again, advanced mobile services, dear mobile service providers. But this idea that IRCA is going to determine the geographical locations within the Bahamas where the advanced mobile services are needed suggests that we need legislation to guarantee net neutrality and to entrench a commitment to equal and equitable access to the internet in this tourism-driven archipelago. Question, do you think the government should enable services that are primarily or solely aimed at rich foreigners? It's a big question. Do we need environmental impact assessments for implementation of 5G in urban areas and in rural areas? Another question, are you opposed to the implementation of 5G technology? And asked your opinion. You could text me, have you participated in any of said surveys? And if you can, tell me what were the questions you were asked. Now, I'm going to read some quotes from two articles. One, Starlink, a new chapter for connectivity in the Bahamas, from a website called ts2.space, dated the 20th of April, 23. Two, Starlink for the Bahamas, 2022-23, question mark. From a Substack article, Loose Cannon, written by Peter Swanson, dated the 24th of May, 22. And of course, Elon Musk's Starlink license to operate in the Bahamas from the Nassau Guardian. I got a couple, 2 minutes left. Quote, the Bahamian government has recognized the potential of Starlink to transform the country's connectivity landscape and has been actively engaging with SpaceX to bring the service to its shores. In February 20, Bahamas telecommunications company BTC announced that it had signed a memorandum of understanding with SpaceX to explore the deployment of Starlink in the country. This collaboration is expected to accelerate the rollout of the satellite internet service, benefiting both residents and visitors alike. This quote is taken from Starlink, a new chapter for connectivity in the Bahamas, from the 20th of April of this year. So, some very quick questions. Is it true? People in foreign could write whatever they want on the internet. They could say whatever they want. So I would like a confirmation from my powers that be. Is this true that BTC signed a memorandum of understanding with SpaceX in February 2021? Is this true? Is it international spin or is it a misinterpretation of the role government and the Ministry of Public Relations of BTC? Very important. Is this true? Is it spin or is it a misinterpretation of the role or the relationship between government, Ministry of Public Works, and BTC? What are the terms of the MOU? Is IRCA aware of the relationship and the document? Now, it is Alive that's objecting in the article, IRCA makes recommendation on third mobile operator. It's Alive that is objecting. But the question is, because we have to ask it of Cable Bahamas, right? Because we have to ask it of Cable Bahamas. Can Cable Bahamas put forth a reasonable objection to the inclusion of a third mobile telephone mobile operator in the Bahamas if Cable Bahamas has not lived up to the terms of its original agreement that it would implement these services across the width, the length of the archipelago. These are all very important questions. I am going to invite staff from IRCA to come at all of it because I would like a third mobile operator. It won't mean that I won't have all three so that I can guarantee, right? So that I can guarantee access to services when I need it. But there are real questions that have to be asked about the equal and equitable access to services in this country. Is our government going to commit to net neutrality and its enforcement? Or are we just going to continue to develop a playground for the rich and famous? Which in and of itself is not a bad thing if y'all got the formula right. But the only formula y'all could find is for foreigners or for anybody to advance, somebody has to be disadvantaged. And that formula can't work. Anyway, let's go to that caller. We take the caller very quickly. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, real quick. Are you suggesting that Sam Bankman Fried was able to use a satellite backbone
to be able to operate
in order so that he can set up his platform where he can be broker, trader, administrator, and go through none of the other local area networks?
Okay, sir, I wasn't suggesting that at all. I actually was suggesting that Starlink may have provided the technology and infrastructure to be able to maintain communications in our far-flung family islands, both sort of phone communications and tech communications. That's what I was suggesting.
Okay, could I just get in one more thing that earlier?
Mm-hmm.
You know that road that leaves where the University Drive is, where it's the only road that you could make a left turn on the light?
Well, you know, they had the sign up, but now the sign is gone, so you can't turn left there either.
Wait, was only done to facilitate persons going west. The majority of traffic comes from south in the morning and goes back south in the evening. That was to take care of the people who won't go west so that nobody be in their way. Just turn left up my way.
Ah.
That's the reason why they block off the other road up there where the woman got took her life.
I want to thank you very much. Your point has been made. And I'm going to try and find some roadworks engineers so we could test out these theories that in the most recent major roadworks, that the roads were designed to facilitate flow from west to east, right? And from north to south, but to slow down the flow from south to the north. What a time, what a political reasoning. I am out of time. I got two last checks. No, Fox Hill needs a lot of work. Good morning. Not the community, the prison. Fox Hill, the community needs a lot of work so that y'all could recognize the brilliance and beauty in it. That's all. Good morning, Aaron. The initial cost to build a new prison was $40 million, and then by including a virtual court, it would cost an additional $50 million. Did you get that figure of $90 million right? If so, something is seriously wrong. That's the number that I read from the paper, from the newspapers. I will pull that article for tomorrow so I can reference it where I got those numbers from. For joining me on the clock today, we talked about a lot. I'm going to give you all the dates for the airing of the documentary as we go through the week. I've got to go. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next. Y'all have a wonderful day. And if you want to know why I'm excited, I eat mango and tamarind at the same time. Oh, the joys of being in the best plantation in the hemisphere. Y'all have a wonderful day. Thank you.